Brother Chan McGowan from St. Louis. We're very pleased to have he and his family here with us. The scripture reading is John, the 18th chapter, verses 33 through 37. John 18, verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And now to John 19, verse 19 through 22. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Our brother will now address us on the subject. What I have written, I have written. Brother Ken.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Indeed, it is a pleasure. I speak this for myself and for my family, that we were given this opportunity by God to come here this week to fellowship with him and with you. Because basically that's what we're here, to give praise to God, not to man. And I'm sure that all those of the St. Louis Ecclesia, though we are few, we do have few, send their greetings likewise, in the name of the Master. My thoughts surrounding these verses in John 18 and 19 is nothing new, as Brother McGahey of Louisiana has often said. I bring you nothing new, but some warm over hash, figuratively speaking. And these words, what I have written, I have written, have some very deep meaning to them for those who care to go into it. But my thought upon them in today's current events, I would say since the 65 up, we have had trials within the news media of all forms, that at what they call the famous trials, maybe like the 7 of Chicago, or the Nelly massacre, or the Angela Davis trial, and so on and so forth. But those trials have come and gone. But this trial had a greater impact on the world than any other trial has ever had, and is still with us to this day. What I have written, I have written. We could very well sum up in verse 22. The natural process of the power of God, in that God ruleth in the kingdoms of men. There's an instrumental movement to the fulfilling of his plans. And I get the impression, and I submit it to you for consideration when reading verse 22, that it is God who is in a spiritual evaluation through the instrument of power in this instance. What was written to the Jews for admonition and displeasure in a period of contempt to the high court of God and to their downfall of 70 AD. But more specifically, I compare it with Mene Tinkle Euphorson when in writing to the Gentile and the Jew in its specific period of time in the pinnacle of horniness and of anti-ism, and we certainly have this anti-ism today in all facets. Witchcraft is on the increase. Both are written with a firm expression that the days were and are numbered for all concerned. When Belshazzar of 538 B.C. are the pious leaders of 33 A.D., the handwriting was on the wall. The time is prescribed and entailed to terminate in a specific time, knowing only to God and God only. No man knoweth the hour of the day, but more important that man should encounter every day in a moment of a twinkle of an eye. That's how fast. Can we ever afford to think otherwise? We can't date it, as a brother stated in class the other day. We can ill afford to state it in a specific date. Today is the day of salvation, Paul says. Paul, as such, was in a position as a governor that he could ill afford, and I say this freshly speaking, to believe the gospel, but he saw and heard enough to have respect. Because within this man, Jesus, he could see power that was far greater than man was capable of displaying. And through the knowledge of information that was relayed to him about the miracles that Jesus performed, that in spite of that power Jesus possessed, so he heard, Paul was content within himself that Jesus could not use it to overthrow the present system of government, as Jesus so stipulated in the verse that the brother read here this morning. Then would my servants fight. Then would my servants fight. And in referring back to John 19:11, Jesus answered and said, thou couldst have no power at all against me except it were given me from above. Now the first part leaves no doubt as to the instrumental of Pilate, and leaves no doubt that Pilate had some insight of the activities and teachings of Jesus. And when studying over the accusations brought to the trial as to his evaluation of the blasphemy charge, which was son of David, son of Joseph, the carpenter, and son of God of Israel, would have very little effect, if any, upon the present system. So he figured. And this is a good example of man's nature when the situation isn't imminent or doesn't come directly to us. We could care less. And we don't want to be involved. And this is Pilate. This is how Pilate felt, in that he had in no way violated the Roman law. And it was, as he put it to the chief priests in Matthew 27:24, seeing that it did no good, but rather an uproar was arising, Pilate took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this man. You yourselves must see to it. In verse 37 of John 18, Jesus was very explicit to Pilate in his reply. Thou saith that I am a king. To this end was I born. Pilate felt these people were with mixed feelings. And if the Jews wanted to kill him so badly, he had to submit to their whims for the sake of peace within his territorial governorship. And it is fitting to add to this point the pre-trial activity as it is recorded in Luke 22, verses 52-53. And then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour, the power of darkness. This is your hour, the power of darkness. Now, we have the authority of darkness in charge. So we see at this point it is a befitting title of ignorance. And we can see as we study the great salvation that this act of confusion derives from man's own interpretations. It is a repeated practice from one generation to the next. It's like a rumor never same as the original. If the Jews had kept the law in its original form, if they had heard what the prophets had lamented to them, speaking of Jeremiah down through the generations, and if we, the Gentiles, could only assimilate or bind together these experiences within our lives likewise, then some light might be possibly seen at the end of this tunnel. As Paul says, we see these things darkly through the glasses. But the flesh is weak, as Jesus said unto the self-righteous people. Had they taken heed to the cry of the prophets and read the scriptures, they would have understood. But this was their hour. This was the glory of the flesh. And we also find in evidence of this trial that the Jews were greatly defeated in their mission to destroy the one thing that would have condemned them, or did condemn them, from generations to come. It was like putting a millstone about their necks, and it has been a burden to them, carrying it to the present time. The shedding of innocent blood of one who was proclaimed by an angel unto Mary that he shall sit on his father's throne, David, and also with his the Son of God, was too much for them. Thus, peace to them, as we hear shalom, shalom, is nothing but a word. It has never been in reality. Then again, we think in terms of the flesh, which isn't too hard to do, that the pride of life enters in, and are more concerned with public opinion. And this was detrimental in their part, which is determining force of action by the majority. So with this in mind, it must have been a very remorse feeling, very remorse in the terms of the flesh, and full of bitterness in losing this case in all of the principal factors involved. Now, there were two key verses that I attributed to the downfall in this future tense, or this remorse feeling that one would get if one were a trial lawyer in getting the maximum aspects of the case, or the total victory as such. Now, number one, in verse 21 of chapter 19, I present Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but he said, I am King of the Jews. I am King of the Jews. We can see at this trial how the chief priests were trying to circumvent the case, preventing changing the title from the word the to the word I am King of the Jews, would highlight the case at a point of self-admittance, and with the singular in cause, and then it would be a sure case of blasphemy, but it was a bit of trickery that didn't work, and Pilate knew from the testimony given to him by Jesus, could in no way mean or interpret it as the word I, or meaning to singular, but rather from a greater source of power, a greater source of power. And in the evidences of the trial testimony, the script that did defeat the Jews and is applicable for consideration to all in a twofold application is in verse 7 of chapter 19. The Jews answered him, Pilate, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Now this is the clincher. This is part of the transcript of their ignorance. We have a law. Whose law? Our law? Never once saying God's law, even though we know they were referring to the Mosaic law. But in their thoughts and actions, it was, in reality, their law. Now, what law, then? The law of the flesh. This was their weak link, excluding God. And there you have it, the authority of darkness, and Jesus came to fulfill, and they destroyed. Now, as to how we are assimilated in this trial, let us refer back to John 19:11. This is why that man handed me over to you has greater sin. The man who handed him over is one who denies him. So in reality, this trial still is in effect at any time or place, whether you put the blame on Judas, or whether you put it on the pious leaders of the Jews at that time, or to the one who takes hold of that file and looks back. The future examinations and the testimonies that will come out will reveal it in the light of the truth. Then we shall know the truth, as Paul said, what is truth? Since Pilate brought this question up, let's see what Jesus says on this. I'm not going to turn for the sake of time. You may turn to it, to the 8th chapter of John. And you can follow me in from the 12th to the 56th. I'll make the comments thereof. The 8th chapter of John, 12 to 56. From this evidence, for this cross-examination, the Jews were determined to prove that Jesus was not of truth in comparison with the law, in that he stood alone in the physical sense, while under the law he required two as witness as to the facts and testimony. And as Jesus says in verse 37 of John 8, that I know you are Abraham's seed, but what do you really understand about the posterity of Abraham? If you had really known, they would have connected the words of Jesus with the seed of Abraham. But Jesus put it in a very simple and explicit terms in verse 47, because you are not of God. A statement like that, you can see the blood boiling. Then he goes on to say that they themselves are their worst enemies in verse 44. The lust of your father ye will do, in that your heart is set on things below and not from above. Referring to verse 23. In verse 41, they testified to the fact that they have one God, But Jesus says, if it were so, you would have understood. Otherwise, you would have done the works of Abraham. And he goes on to say, you're not going to listen to one in light of the testimony, which is contrary to the lust of your members, or in other words, man's own imaginations and concepts. And in verse 53 of that same chapter, the Jews were trying with another bit of trickery, which didn't work, in that self-glory. Jesus said, if you had really known God, the glory is not to me, but to God. And he says in everyday language that we understand that you simply don't know him. I know him, now emphasize this, and keep his sayings. I know him and keep his sayings. Then Jesus concludes in verse 30 to 32 of the same chapter, to those who had an understanding and believe him as the representative of the truth, says in verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Brothers and sisters, as we assimilate the old and the new, bond it together, and as the prophets have cried out, the day is coming, and in that day both Jew and Gentile shall see and connect all things in that Jesus is the Messiah. And in that day the truth shall be revealed, referring to our faith turning to sight, something that is tangible, which the flesh has always been wanting to put something in their hands upon. This will be a tangible thing. And I want to refer to Zechariah, the 13th chapter, verses 1 to 6, for a moment. In that day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall go no more, they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when they shall yet prophesy them, his father and his mother that beget him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the prophet, and his father and his mother, and beget him, shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am a husbandman, for a man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Then shall he answer, those which I have wounded in the house of my friends. Is it just to the Jews in the literal sense, or is it applicable to the spiritual application? Because in that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as it is given in the preceding chapter of verse 11, similarly to Luke 13:28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. And we know this applies to the household of Israel, or the household of God, the called out ones. Can we ill afford to say within ourselves, upon self-examination, when we partake of the memorials, that we never wounded our friend, our elder brother, our high priest, and future King of Kings. Remember, Jesus said, if you have done it unto the least of them, you have done it unto me. In Matthew 25:40-45. And as Paul says to the Romans in 12:18, if possible, live peaceably with all men, especially to those of the household. Treat them as a brethren, not as an enemy, when the occasion arises. And we know the occasion will arise. Remember the lost generation, the generation that came out of Egypt into the wilderness and never made it in the promised land? When we were buried in Christ's death, we came out of Egypt and into the wilderness of trial. Are we so foolish to think that we have no veil before our eyes as they had? Now, we could very easily spell that veil, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Roth, F-L-E-S-H. This veil before our eyes, F-L-E-S-H. Do this, too, because you people know the season, that it is already the hour for you to wake from sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than at the time when we became believers. The night is well along, the day is drawn near. Let us therefore put off the works belonging to darkness, and let us put on the weapons of the light. And this is from our elder brother Paul, speaking to the church in Rome, chapter 13, 11, and 12. Now these words are getting stronger and stronger, leading up to that day. Remember, what was written, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, the hope of Israel, God's chosen. Thank you.